Live from the Android's Dungeon and Baseball Card Shop, this is Derailed Trains of Thought. Well, hello, Nick.
Hi, we're kind of in our element today.
We are. We're in a nerd paradise. Yeah. Or at least it would be if that fat old guy wasn't constantly glaring at us.
Yeah, I think he wants to just buy something.
Yeah, apparently. I always want to look, thumb through something before I check them out.
Or thumb through slowly all 20-some pages. I mean, not that I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. But yes, and baseball cards, which apparently are a thing still.
Yes, apparently. That's... You know, I don't know. This whole town is a little off. Like,
yeah.
You notice, like, all the yellow people?
Yeah. There's a definite some sort of vitamin deficiency here.
Apparently. Although I'm sure...
I'm not even sure what state we're in.
Although I'm sure that's a lake that was nearby that was green probably...
Yeah, with that three-eyed fish.
Yeah, that probably didn't help things for this...
I'm glad they're trying to be, you know, have the nuclear power plant and not use coal or whatever, but...
Yeah. There's some drawbacks.
There's some drawbacks, yeah.
Yeah. They might get burned, but anyway, welcome, folks. This is a very special episode, our 60th episode.
It's a big deal.
Yes, because it's a nice round number, and it commemorates our 5-year anniversary.
Wow.
Woo! So we'll have this as big a to-do as, say, our 50th one. Which...
That takes a lot to do.
Yeah. Yes, it does. But it's cool that we've been able to do this for this long.
Somehow we've been just plodding along, and we just keep coming with ideas.
Yeah.
We're trying to.
Trying to do our best. We'll see how long we can keep this whole thing up.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll get into talking about that in our story school. So, our very first topic, Nick, was endings.
Endings. Yes, that's where we began, because it seemed ominous.
Appropriate.
Appropriate, yes. Not ominous.
Maybe ominous, who knows. But today, we're going to talk about series...
Endings.
Endings, but particularly in terms of like a series or a sequel.
A franchise, even.
A franchise, even, yes. Because we live in an era of sequels and series and franchises.
What?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to see this movie, Scorch Trials. That's a sequel.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yes, everything is okay. Not everything. It's a little over.
Like the James Bond. No.
Yeah.
There's that Hunger Games.
Well, yeah. Oh, and you know, there's Doctor Strange just coming out. So.
Well, there's a new remix album from Final Fantasy. Nine.
Okay.
So this is only episode 60. Anyway, so as you probably have known, there are series and franchises.
All over the place.
Yes. And if there isn't, someone is desperately trying to resurrect something that has died.
Which, fun fact, Nick, back when we first started this podcast 5 years ago, that I think there were only 3 movies in what is considered now the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Really?
Yeah. Only first 2 Iron Mans and Incredible Hulk. I think those were the only ones that had come out when we had started in 2010.
That is kind of nuts.
I could be wrong, but and then at that point, we had no idea that we would ever see another Star Wars.
Yeah,
movie.
Now we're going to see like Star Wars from now until eternity.
Yeah, from here until eternity. That's like a Star Wars romance.
Yes. Well, remember in our 50th, we said that's what we're going to basically turn a whole side podcast into, wasn't it?
Oh,
analyzing Star Wars movies.
All like, different Star
like
Wars.
Like Star Wars episode 27,000.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Anyways, so endings.
Yes. So the question is, how long is too much? I mean, granted, we like a lot of these series that we're poking fun at. But when does a series feel like it's beginning to overstay its welcome?
I think it's easier to start with series that kind of a built-in timer. What I mean is things that the way it's set up to keep it going feels like you're just keeping it going. I mean, like, you know, if we had our bingo card, Lost.
Yeah,
okay.
I was thinking the same thing.
Is that this is our favorite example here. You know,
for everything.
It's a, you know, it's a neat show. Everyone loves it. They're doing cool things, but it needs to end because the setup of the show itself demands that there is an ending.
And it had to have an expiration date.
Yeah. And I think, so first thing you tackle are shows like that. There's all some shows you just like, you know, Smallville. At some point it has to end because he can't stop not being Superman until he's 40.
Yes.
I mean, when you set up, prequels are often like that.
Yeah. And I expect Gotham will run into the same thing before too long here.
And that people start getting antsy because they realize,
like, hey, this is leading up to something. Where is the thing that it's supposed to be leading up to?
Yeah.
I think Lost is a perfect example of, I mean, how many showrunners have come to the studio and say, look, you got to pick a day that you're going to end this thing. You know?
Most
other series like, oh, we'll keep making our crime procedural until the world ends.
And you always have this battle between the people who want to keep making money off and the people who say, no, the story's done.
Mm-hmm.
And not, I don't want to hammer the sequel thing too long. We've talked about it in other places. But, you know, things like Toy Story. Mm-hmm. You know, you feel like Toy Story 3 brought an end, a circle to it.
Yes.
And now they're trying to make a 4. And I'm like,
Yeah.
Because here's...
I'm a little worried about it. Because it'd be the first one without Andy, and that seems like it's changing a lot. I mean, they've done really cool things with the Toy Story shorts that they've done.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see them in, you know, at another kid's house and the new adventures they run into. But, yeah, I'm with you.
I think the thing with endings, we want to get this... Okay, going to step back a second. We want our favorite shows not to end, inherently.
Yes.
We try to find ways for them not to.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're almost constantly finding different ways to reinvent the wheel. And sometimes we do drastic things like, hey, we'll just, Toy Story stops being about Woody, Buzz, and Andy, and starts being about just toys in someone's house. Maybe. I mean, I don't know what they'll do with it.
I think I heard somewhere that it was something about finding Bo Peep.
Okay.
Which is an interesting, that was sort of a plot thread they had just left dangling. And I could see them picking that one back up.
But we have this, you know, that's the thing. It's hard to kill off a well-loved series, TV show, book, mm-hmm. because, not just because it makes money, but because people like the characters.
Yeah. In movie franchises, particularly, it's almost like you have to go bad before you can stop.
Yeah.
A lot of times. And even then, like, it encourages people to try again. Like, you know, Aliens, you know, the franchise went bad, you know, a while ago, and then let's try to do something else with it, with Prometheus.
And from what I understand, James Bond has gone bad a couple times.
That's true.
And they just keep...
They kind of reinvent the wheel.
And that's the thing with... That's the tricky thing with saying when it should end, because we've now created a series like James Bond, which is not really... It's different than, like, a Lost, where it's like, here's all it really is like, here's a spy genre with certain extra things that have to be in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like spy movie plus, Shaken Not Stirred and Bond, James Bond, and a couple other things.
Uh-huh.
And some gadgets. So it's almost like we switch some of these longer series from being beginning, middle, end to almost a genre within itself.
That's true. For the most part, you're not looking for a whole lot of continuity between Bonds. Although the exception is the Daniel Craig movies.
Yeah.
I think there is sort of a progression of a character from movie to movie with his Bond, which I don't think you could say had really been done much before.
Yeah. But the thing is, probably, and my guess is, you know, when he's done being Bond, that'll probably be the end of
that Bond.
An arc.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it becomes
a new Bond.
A new Bond. Yeah. It's seeing story not as beginning, middle, end, but seeing story as reinvented archetypes.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting way to put it. Or kind of encapsule, this is an era of Bond, and this, and then you kind of tie it up.
And the shows like that, I'm not sure you can put an end date on. I mean, I'm not sure you can say, here's when it should end. You might say, here's where we should stop for now.
Yeah.
Because the creative juices that, the cultural tensions that made that version of Bond, that version of Doctor Who.
Yes, I was going to say, but Doctor Who is another keen example of this.
And honestly, Doctor Who is one of the few shows with a setup that I think
it's theoretically,
theoretically, probably shouldn't ever have a definitive ending. I mean, because it is almost, it's basically go anywhere, do anything, change your main character. I mean, it basically is a
rewrite your own rules as often as you like.
I mean, it's like you got a handful of things that have to be there. You know, a kind of a stylistic thing about, you know, kind of quirky and sort of thing. But besides that, it really is just, you know, it's like one of those games or books where, you know, you put the head on, you put a different body on, you put a different foot on, and, you know, uh-huh. you figure out what you got.
Yeah.
It's like a word jumble.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
It just be easy to dinosaurs in a spaceship doesn't mean that 10 years down the road you might not do something that's basically unicorns on a submarine line. Yeah, yeah. Anyways, you won't call foul because that's just what it is.
Yeah, it's remarkable how many different stories they pulled out of that basic core concept.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are your examples of stories that don't necessarily have. So we have some that definitely have an ending or should have an ending at least, and then you've got your kinds that don't necessarily
are so reinventable. I mean, they're so elastic. Mm-hmm. And then there's the ones in the middle
where you're not sure which way it should go.
A lot of the old TV, a lot of the old kind of monster of the week, like I use X-Files as an example of this, mm-hmm. where I remember watching X-Files. My friend and I were saying, you know what? 5 seasons about how long this show should go. You were like, then you just stop running. You run out of good ideas. But I still kind of hold to it as a general theme. Mm-hmm. But then there's some really great episodes in season 6 and 7 of X-Files. But then Mulder, the main character, wants to leave. And you're like, why are we still going? Because the dynamic, you can get away with doing, you know, just different monsters of the week because you love the characters. You got these shows that are based on the characters. And if the characters stop being who they were, why are we still doing things?
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of shows where you only watch because for the characters. A lot of USA shows, like Psych.
Yeah.
Basically, the mysteries are just dressing for the characters to do cool things and funny things.
Right. I think some procedures work a little differently. It depends on the franchise.
Yeah.
Like CSI, there's a few detectives that stayed on, but I think they, you know, the main guy, they flipped in and out a couple of times. And even that in that one, I guess it's just ending this, just like this season. Yeah. Or they're ending with like a TV movie or something.
Okay.
So, you know, I guess it was just, you know, that long in the tooth. I was like, no, I think we're done.
And I suppose those sort of shows, you don't even watch it for, I mean, it's so episodic. You only watch it for, you want a little mystery of the week.
Yeah.
I suspect. And I guess you just end that when people stop wanting mystery of the week. It's like, you stop doing Sherlock Holmes when either A, people stop buying or you're sick of writing it.
Yeah. More the latter with Doyle's case.
Yeah, exactly. Because I guess because why you watch those, you're not for this, not you're not watching for a... For an arc. You're reading them for, aha, that was clever.
Yeah. And I think, and some fans may have slight variations on that. I think NCIS shows do tend to be a little more, the only reason I've watched those is generally for the characters.
Okay. I have not watched much NCIS.
I mean, NCIS. Yeah. I mean, not that I'm huge. It's still like very popcorny to me. Not real popcorn. I don't know what the right word is. It's not quite soapy. It's not quite blockbustery. But anyway, the point is, I don't have really any interest in the NCIS New Orleans, just because for me, like, that's a whole nother one. I don't really need what they're pitching.
Yeah.
But I might pop into one of the other ones just to see what DeNozzo's doing or what Deeks is doing over in Los Angeles. You know, the fun characters that you enjoy.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of both there.
Okay, so far we've basically argued that there's lots of ways not to end a story.
So we should actually start talking about...
why, yeah.
Well, one more addendum to why not to end a story is not. Some people say that once they've hit they've told their best work, and, you know, because in some shows it is good to kind of like do a big hurrah at the very end and then end it.
Yeah.
Linkara, who does Top the Fourth Wall, but also has storylines in his reviews, in his review show, he recognized, he did one storyline that he thought was his best.
Yeah.
But he was also like, but at the same time, I don't feel like that means I should stop because I don't think I'm ever going to be able to top this one. It just means I tell different types of stories and, you know, be creative with it.
So
just because you feel like you've done one of your best versions may or may not mean that the well is dry.
And I wonder, you know, looking from a writer point of view or a creator point of view, whether what should warn you about what to stop is when you know you really don't have any stories left, you're just regurgitating.
Yeah, I think that's the key.
And I think, you know, to use the Lost example, they're like, look, we're writing dumb stuff now.
We're going in circles. We need to kind of have a goal point.
You know, maybe, and I don't know Sherlock Holmes' history much, but, you know, he's probably like, I've told the sort of stories I wanted to tell.
Yeah.
You know.
That's pretty accurate for Holmes, I think. I mean, I know that was certainly a case where he felt like he was done. There was enough of a demand still from the audience that they wanted to.
I guess you could, you know, like some of these procedural side things, you could keep telling the stories and they could just be copies or pale versions of other stories. But and the audience might keep buying it.
Mm-hmm.
But from a creative point of view, you might just be like, but all the stories of this type worth telling, I've already done. Not that they're my best, it's just there's nothing interesting left to say. Mm-hmm. It's not just workmanship. You're not just like, I'm just throwing things together because that's what it just happens. You do it in your sleep.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes the audience does fade off too.
Yeah.
There's certainly that. Like, yeah. I think, again, let's go to Law and Order. It's another show where they like the main characters change a lot over the course of like, how long was that show on? Like 19 years,
something
I think.
Like that.
But at a certain point, like when a show becomes that old, it becomes a little too old hat.
Yeah.
So then you're like, but you know, it's not when you're not the cutting edge. And that's a big deal in TV world too. When it's not what the key demographic, the 18 to 39 year olds are into, then maybe time to move on.
Because a lot of the ways we're arguing to keep a show on largely were around infusions of creativity.
Yeah.
One way or another. You know, you change the director, you change the actor, you change the tone, you update Battlestar from 70s cheese to post 9/11.
Yeah. We mentioned earlier, like, the maybe if there's a middle ground between shows that should have an ending and shows that don't necessarily have to, and then the ones that are a little murkier.
Yeah.
I kind of think a lot of people view the Muppets themselves in another way. Another bingo for Dirt All Dreams of Thought bingo. Because a lot of people think that, you know, it's never going to be the same as when Jim Henson was alive, which granted it won't. It changes. And whether you like some of those changes or not may depend on, you know, whether you think they should just kind of call it quits.
Yeah.
I think they've done a lot of great things. I'm very interested to see what they do with the new show as of this recording. Has it come out yet?
Yeah.
But obviously they've talked a lot about sort of reinventing who they currently are.
Yeah.
And so that's a show where it's kind of, you never know. And for like some of their TV show projects, they haven't had a really, like I'd say, a huge, like successful series since The Muppet Show.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the case, and that's the case where the creator himself said, we're going to stop right here before, you know, because we feel like we're ready to try new things. Yeah. He was always about trying new things. And since then, there hasn't really been a, like Muppets Tonight, for example, is a show that they kind of figured out what they were doing as they were going. But with modern TV, it's hard to have enough time sometimes to, and then you don't really have a chance to end it on your terms.
Now, at the beginning, here's an interesting question.
Okay.
At the beginning of this whole conversation, we talked about how many sequels there are, and, you know, we keep reinventing and rebooting, and we've talked about that in other podcasts. We say a lot of things you can reinvent and keep doing James Bonds, whatever. You think maybe would there be a benefit in, though there could be more stories, say, in some long-running series, we should kill it anyways just so that we can try something that's not just constantly reinventing the wheel? I mean, we always complain that there's so many sequels, there's so many whatever. Would it benefit the world if we had the power to just say, let's just stop 50% of these sequels and reboots and not do any of those? Would it be better?
I'm sure some people would say so.
Well, yeah, but would it be?
I don't know. I think it's really hard to say. I mean, part of the reason we have what some people are calling a new golden age of television right now is the serialized storytelling. And even in terms of movies, I find it very fascinating. It's interesting. The backlash, I think we talked a little bit last time in our take on Tales, about how there's sort of a backlash against the Marvel Cinematic Universe in terms of like you know, the surprise of it is gone.
Yeah.
It's easy for some people to just see the corporate side of
it.
But for me, I'm like, as a fan, I'm like, but this is what comics are like. You know, you have these ongoing stories. You have characters that appear in, you know, each other's books. You know, it's a perfect comic book adaptation, universe adaptation, if you ask me. So I don't think, like, I don't know. I think it's hard to draw a line, you know, which sequels are, you don't know sometimes what sequels aren't going to happen until you make them, or, you know, aren't worth making until you make them, if that makes sense.
You know, sometimes people talk about there should be some sort of reboot of, I'm not going to say it, like, Lost, you know, someday maybe we could do something, you know, like, well, but you shouldn't.
Yeah, no.
But but that's what reboots are sometimes. Like, we'll just take an old thing and we'll make it new.
Yeah.
And it's completely different. But sometimes I'm just arguing, could we stop reboots and start doing things that are, does a Lost exist in the world? A new Lost exists in the world that only is rebooting old stuff. Like a new equivalent, uh-huh. Like, this is completely different than anything.
Be hard to even imagine it as Lost. Like, it'd be like a whole,
well, I mean,
are you talking about like different characters?
That was a bad example. I mean, originally some people were talking about, you know, use the island, but
Oh, as like a location, then like a new batch
But then my question was, you know, Lost was came out of the blue. It was a new thing. It wasn't a reboot of anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we killed more long-running things, do you think it would help people try new startling things? Or do you think there's enough of that going on anyways on long side? This is highly theoretical.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm of a split mind about it because Pixar is a good example of this right now. Because I think they've purposely said they wanted to do... At some point, I think they said they wanted to do a new movie every year and a sequel every other year or some sort of schedule like that. Yeah. And I don't think it's quite worked out that way because filmmaking is not quite that easily schedulable.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of people that would wish that they, you know, wouldn't do some of their sequels and that they would just do original stuff.
Yeah. I tend to be that way.
Yes. Which I kind of do too, although I really do want to see another Incredibles movie. So again, though, that's the thing, you know, which movies deserve the sequels and which ones don't. It's I don't know.
Let's reverse it real quick. If we have time.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Everyone always talks about Firefly.
Okay.
And that died too early.
Uh huh.
Is it beneficial to Firefly to have died early?
Oh man, you're asking for it here.
And I really don't know, but
I know where you're going with it though, because there's something to it's like. The person who dies young. I mean, even Jim Henson has this to an extent.
Yeah.
A person dies young, they become sort of immortalized, and everyone looks at their stuff with a fresh perspective because they didn't get a chance to work on other things. Whereas if Jim Henson had gone on to do something better than Dark Crystal or Labyrinth, I'm sure people would look at those and be like, yeah, they were a good start. Yeah. But because that's all we have, they become cult classics.
I guess... You know, the trick with having anything go on, and Firefly didn't have to, is that continuing something is very complicated. And I think that, like you said, there's a lot of benefit in saying to try something, even if it fails, is not necessarily a bad thing. To try a sequel, to try a even if it's not as good, if you come with an artistic integrity.
If there's a story there, yes.
Yeah, there's artistic integrity and not just...
We did this for the money.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure you can measure that either way.
Yeah. As much as it would be cool to see more... Stories in Firefly, you know, we don't know if they would have kept it the good same quality or if it would have been vastly different. Well,
I know, just to bring Lost back in, Damon Lindelof was desperately hoping that they'd get canceled and they would only have about 12 episodes so he could be like a cult classic. Because he's like, how am I supposed to keep this going?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. which was the question. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they experimented a lot of different ways to keep it going. Yes, maybe they were successful. Not all of them were.
They tried all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, and in some ways I wonder, I guess this, I never thought about this. If the sequel forces you to be even more creative, it might be worth not ending.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be worth ending if it does not force more creativity.
Yes. If it's going to hold other things back.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's something Brad Bird complains about on Twitter a lot. Adaptations and missing original stuff.
Yeah, which I can
I understand that. I'm not wild about Disney doing live action remakes of a lot of their old movies.
Because you're kind of going through. I mean, reboots at least or reimaginings. You know, like when Balsa gets converted or stuff like that. You're at least using kind of a. It's like myth. You're using an old type and you're applying it in new ways, and that's it's almost like a. Like a structure in which to form in creative. Like, you know, sonnets. It's 14, they're 14 lines, they have a rhyme scheme, everything.
Sure.
And no one says because you wrote a sonnet, you're not being creative.
Right.
The form itself is the vehicle for trying to be creative, for messing with the boundaries and stuff.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's a different way to look at a sequel.
Yeah.
As a reimagining and putting those sort of creative limits on you. So, yeah, there's that.
And the best ones that, you know, maybe should end, but didn't, like the James Bond stuff, have really forced themselves to be different.
Now, you asked this earlier, and I went on a completely different trail.
Yeah.
But, okay, so what about series that ended well, that knew, okay, we've been going on for a while, let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
Obviously, we think Lost is one of those.
We like Lost, yeah. We're apologists for Lost.
A series that we think should go that direction very soon probably is Once Upon a Time.
I was going to bring that up earlier and forgot. So why does that show, why do you think it needs to end? Because I think as a viewer, again, from writer's different point of view, from a viewer, you watch shows, you sometimes you have this sense, let's end this thing.
Yeah.
What sort of things in Once Upon a Time?
Well, if you'd like to listen to the Weekly Hijack, we go into this in depth. But things we've talked about, there seems to be a lot of searching for new things to do with the characters.
And a lot of repetition.
There's a lot of repetition of ideas. And honestly, the whole show is about fairy tales. At some point, they need to live happily ever after.
Whenever you find yourself adding, I mean, this is talking about jumping the shark and things, you know. But when you're adding things in order to get something new in, and then it just phases out, and you add something new, like, you know, let's add new characters this season, and then they all die off in three episodes, you know.
Yeah,
maybe
might be a sign that it's you're false stretching.
Propping up.
Mm-hmm. Although, again, going back to our favorite, we've talked about Lost a lot, but they added characters intermittently throughout the whole thing, and
some of them worked really well, and so I mean, I think. Again, that's why it's hard to call these things. Because sometimes they would try and they knew it didn't work, so they killed them off. And other times they kept them, and they're like, no, this guy gave the proper impetus to our main characters. Mm-hmm. It didn't distract. It's not like it became the Faraday show. Or, yeah.
No, that's true. They added new elements to it in some way.
I mean, it did kind of become the Ben show at points, but.
Yes. Well, Juliet, you know, and then she added some interesting things. Yeah. Speaking, we're in the middle of season two now on our Weekly Hijack rewatch. And I was thinking, you know, we talked about the tail section people may not have added a whole lot, but Ben completely changed the show in some ways. I mean,
it's hard, especially in something that's purposely serialized, like a lot of TV is nowadays, like certain book series are nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know, like Anne McCaffrey just wrote Pern novels all the time, but those were sold. And sometimes, and she finally had an ending. She finally had all the where's a Pern or whatever, how you pronounce that. And it was the ending, and they fixed stuff. And yes, but they were like, lots of books before that. Yeah. You know, so you get the sense that there's no more interesting stories.
I guess in a series on the Doctor Who into things that was set up in such a way that it didn't really need an end date exactly until the author passed away was Redwall. Because those books were kind of published. There's a chronological order. There's a timeline, but it doesn't really matter in what order you read them. They're kind of all over the place and the eras of the place.
And we've now in an era of storytelling, in many ways, where it's you create worlds in many ways. And Redwall is almost let's follow different people in different parts of this world. You know, Star Wars, in theory at this point, you could make stories forever.
Yeah.
If you found interesting angles.
Yeah.
Because it's just another place to tell stories.
Mm-hmm. I highly suspect we'll see the end of at least some of our original cast of characters in the new movies as they come out. Okay, a couple, because we haven't talked nearly as much as we should about actual finales that we liked. You followed The Office for a little while.
Yes, I watched about half of it.
Did you feel it was worth it after...
I didn't get to Michael Scott leaving.
Oh, you didn't get to that? Okay, so never mind.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Zach kept watching, and I think he said it took a while, but... Mm. I've heard, X-Files, I stopped watching when Mulder left. Not just because he left, but also because I went to college.
Yeah.
And I've heard people say that if you can get past the fact that Mulder's gone and is a different show, there's still good episodes. I mean, it's a different show, but it's good episodes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm really trying to think of other
Wheel of series Time. Finales. I got through Wheel of Time.
There. Okay, well, because
it's 14 books long.
But, I mean, that one is very definitely aiming toward a certain ending.
But, yes, I just had to throw it in because it was like, I mean, it's like 20 years in the making.
Yeah.
I just got to throw it because it's working towards an end. It did the end. And what was so fascinating to me when I read the last book is that I got done and I said, I could read more books than this. Like, the story was done, but the world was... There were stories that would easily follow from other characters, other main characters, besides your main one. And I'm like, this is a great place.
Okay. Interesting.
Now, it'll never happen. Right. And that's fine because it probably shouldn't happen. But I know he had ideas for a plotline with Matt and stuff. And I'm like, oh, man.
I think this question is a little more cut and dry when it comes to a series that's very clearly heading for a very certain point. Like Full Metal Alchemist, I think, had a very clear endpoint in mind. When you see the final product, you know, all the things come together.
Let me ask Arrow. You're what, on season four now?
How do you feel about that? I think they're about to start season four. I'm not sure where they're going with Arrow, to be honest. Because like the ending of season three was unexpected. He was like happy all of a sudden, and I wasn't quite sure where the justification for, because the whole, we talked about this again on the Weekly Hijack, but the whole thing they did with Ra's al Ghul's thing, I think, was not very well handled.
Yeah,
I don't know. It sounds like they're changing a lot for this new season, which I'm curious about. I could kind of see an endpoint for that one, though, sooner rather than later. And if only for the fact that they've sort of put themselves, they've sort of created a clock for themselves, I think, with okay. the flashbacks.
Okay.
Because they've said he was gone for 5 years. And,
okay.
And they've done three, and I don't know for sure that they've covered 3 years in his flashbacks.
It could be.
But it could be. And it'd be, you know, that's something that you can only do for so long before people be like, this feels like it's been for longer than 5 years.
I really feel like anything that has arcs of any substantial that, like, last, that don't, like, get reset every mm-hmm. couple episodes. Like, you know, Simpsons, for example. I mean, anything that happens in an episode basically disappears by the next episode.
Yeah, there is no continuity. Yeah. It's like...
But if peanuts. There's, yeah, if there's, yeah,
the kids,
exactly.
The kids never grow up.
But if there's any sort of progression, I think still what I said in high school with my friend, that about five seasons, it's not a golden rule, but it's a nice number.
It is a nice number.
For a lot of reasons. Because you get past the first two seasons, you know, season one, if you're good, is awesome. Or two, if you're not good, you finally find your voice at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then two or three, you're experimenting. About four or five, you can really get some stuff, but you're also kind of getting old.
Mm-hmm.
And then people still keep going for all kinds of reasons, as mm-hmm. we've said.
Yes.
We haven't said many reasons to kill it besides you just feel that it's done.
As with most writing things, it's all about in the moment, you know, just kind of you have to figure things out. The key is to be always evaluating, I think, where you are at in a certain thing, which I guess we kind of did with Story Project.
Yeah.
You know? We didn't know starting off that project how long it was going to be exactly. It could have, you know, if we'd done things differently, added in more characters or something, it could have been longer than 2 years.
And throwing in extra characters could have worked really well in that setting.
Yeah, we it was had a good setting back for
and,
it. Yeah,
good. You could have easily had people transferring in and out and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. But I think that we had just come to a place where we were like, for the characters we had, and
they all wrapped up wonderfully.
Yeah, and they all wrapped up pretty well, and we were just ready for another creative endeavor.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I think, and you never know, if we were in... If we had been so ambitious with Children of the Wells, you know, possibly we might decide, oh, let's wrap this up faster. But
yeah.
We have so much going in motion over at Children of the Wells that yeah. it's probably not going to end anytime soon.
No, exactly. And that's, yeah, which will be interesting.
Yes. We'll see how well
we just crammed it full of plot. It'll just take a while to unwind, even if we don't add any more.
Yeah. And there's plenty of room to add more.
And there's you could add on for a long time. And yeah. But when you feel like you're like, what can we do this season to make it exciting? You're like, but are you losing the initial spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just finished season three of Falling Skies. There's five seasons. I think it just finally ended for good.
Okay.
The actors watched it. He thought it wrapped up kind of quickly. But it's about fighting aliens. It's like Revolution, but way better. Anyways, they've done a good job so far of kind of keeping things moving. I feel like this next season, depending on what they do, is like, okay, yeah, we're about done fighting the alien thing. All right. That's not another sidetrack. So
yeah, sir. I just realized we were going really long. We've been going long in our story okay. schools.
Well,
lately.
Then let's move on then.
Okay. So what do we have next? Oh, soundtrack.
Are certain series in the video game world that have gone on for quite a while,
and they managed to have a lot of good music with them.
Yes, and this is not Final Fantasy, oddly enough. This is Mega Man, has many, many games. There's Mega Man, and there's Mega Man X, and there's Mega Man Zero, apparently.
Are they like different universes or something?
Mega Man X takes place in the future for Mega Man, I guess. And Mega Man X Zero, I don't know anything about, but it's for the Game Boy Advance.
Okay.
And then there's all kinds of, like, Star 5. I mean, they all kind of handheld Mega Mans. Now they're, like, RPG-ish. But anyways, this is a song from Mega Man Zero 2 called Cool Mind, remixed by Dragon Lord. And I just kind of like it. I dig it. So enjoy. We'll be right back.
And we're back.
Hello. Hope your mind is now cool and frosty.
You know, all this talk about ending series, it makes me thoughtful about our 60th episode here.
I know. I didn't really want to say it on air.
Well, you know, do we have enough ideas to keep this thing going?
We're talking about reboots for like the second time.
Oh, yeah, that is a problem. I mean, how many times did we talk about Lost just there?
I know. We already tried to add a third host, and that didn't go very well.
And that's true.
Like the 50th. So that, you know, we were trying, you know, we could just change the format a little bit, you know, maybe start adding more soundtracks. Make it more of a radio show.
Oh, that's a thought. Do more soundtracks in the second half. The first half just Story School, second half soundtracks.
Yeah, then we don't have the work. So yeah, the Story School is what we're having trouble with too. No. I mean, what else is there to talk about?
Yeah,
I mean, we've done all the important stuff.
I mean, there's all there is to say. So maybe we'll just go out here with a nice soothing soundtrack.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go.
Okay, maybe not.
Okay, I think we'll come up with something. That's how things work now. Yes. Like, we'll
make it happen.
We'll make it happen. We'll hit 120 somehow.
And actually, I just remembered, we actually have a huge topic list.
We do have a huge, yeah, that's true. We can't ever get through it. So don't worry, guys.
We're here for a while yet.
You can't get rid of us that easily.
All right. If you're still with us and haven't thrown your iPod across the room,
is Nick. Oh, no, not the ending.
No. We're going to go into a segment we haven't done in a while, sadly, and that it is a bit of story. Okay, as usual, Nick has got something interesting going on at worksofnick.com.
As usual, it's been silent there for a long time. But
I guess I should say, as usual, you've got more new written stuff going on than I do.
So I had this idea that sometimes I just want to write something that doesn't take much effort, because Strin Fred takes a lot of work.
Which, how is that coming, by the way?
I haven't done much in the last 2 weeks, because I was sidetracked with another minor project. Okay. Not this, but never mind there. Besides that, it was going pretty well before the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
But this is just sort of, I'll just write this serial on my website. I'll just kind of lunch break or whatever when I feel like it, write up about 500 words and then send it out on the Ethernet and then occasionally leave a poll so that people can help me decide what to write next. And you should do a poll every time. I think that's what Tim wants.
I was just disappointed. I know I got on there and there wasn't one.
I was thinking about it. I don't know why I didn't that time. Maybe there's stuff I could have asked. But anyways, so I call it the Wander Now. It's purposely set up so that I can do basically whatever I want.
Whatever pops in your head.
Whatever pops in your head. It's called the Wander Now because he'll kind of wander around from reality to reality. Like sliders, kind of.
Oh, interesting.
So I can, you know, he can show up in Stern Fred. He can show up in Story Project.
Fun. I like that idea.
So I haven't got that far yet because I got distracted with this guy in the cabin.
I did not know that.
Again, I went to get there and then I'm like, oh, let's go to this cabin and see what happens. I'm like, oh, there's a guy in there. Oh, he has something on his back. But I all set up so that like it gets too deep in, I'm going to just have him move. I'm going to just be like,
move on.
Like just taken away without him wanting to, you know, so I can just. So I don't build plot lines too much. So it's set up purposely to try to diffuse my...
So this is not so much... This is probably not going to be so much of a like a regular story, more of a experiment in progress.
Yes. Well, unless, of course, I defeat myself and make it into a regular story, which I tend to do. So we'll see. We'll see. But anyways, okay. This is episode one. Right. On worksofnick.com, you can go and find them. It's near the beginning, so if you want to get in and read, come join us. I'll try to do lots of polls because I think it's fun. It gives me creativity, and I think the audience will like it.
All right.
So this is episode one, Crazy Old Coot. It was an interesting night. I was rummaging through my old comic collection because... Well, because I was bored, and I was peeking in the nooks and crannies of my room, and found a long white box buried in the back of my closet. So I lugged it out and started flipping through 90s-style Spider-Man and X-Men. You remember when Cyclops and Jean Grey got married and started hopping through time, filling the blanks of their strange time paradox family tree? I didn't really either. So I thought I'd read through issue one when some old guy walked into my room, saw the comics, and said,
"Oh, good. You'll understand."
I stared at him. I didn't know the man, and had locked the door. But there he was, admiring my comics.
"Here,
He handed me what looked like an iPad. I thought maybe he was a meter reader or one of those guys who offers to waterproof your basement. I tried to sign the screen, but it was blank. What am I?
Inquisitive. Good. That'll help. Ask questions. Don't expect a lot of answers, though. But that's okay. It really is. I'm just getting too old for this kind of thing.
What kind of...
You don't have a girlfriend or a wife or something, do you? You ought to say bye to the girlfriend, but I can rig up something for the wife if that's what you got.
We looked again at the box of comics.
No one did?
I take offense
that... Yeah. Learn to laugh at your shelf. It will save you a lot of heartache.
He patted his shirt and pant pockets.
Well, that's it, I guess.
He paused, wistful.
Oh, to be young again. But no, I'm happy now to have seen what I have. Enjoy it, young man, no matter what happens. It's a gift. All of it. Thank him every day, even if you're starving, even if you're lost, even if you're dying. Thank him. Yep. All right, I'm out. Bon voyage.
He disappeared into the hall. I rose to follow him, but he was gone. To be sure, I grabbed the lightsaber replica from above my dresser and stalked through the house, looking behind couches and under tables. I checked the locks on all the windows and doors and spent a tense 5 minutes in the basement lit by the blue glow of the lightsaber. I wasn't crazy. I'd seen the man. He was most likely crazy. That didn't comfort me. I lugged the comics to the living room and read them half-heartedly, my eyes rising continually for some shape I didn't see, my ears hearing every car and pedestrian and stray cat outside. It was nearly midnight when I convinced myself, after placing chairs strategically at the doors to help bar any intruders, that I should sleep. Teeth brushed, pajamas on, tucked in, I prayed as the clock reached the new day. That's when the beeping began.
Oh, wrong podcast.
Anyway, so that was a fun story. I'm going to throw the comic book thing in because it's going to be a very comic book sort of story.
Nice.
So, and I remember reading the Jean Grey Cyclops time travel honeymoon stuff.
I was sure you had. That's kind of your era.
Yeah, it was. It was very much my era. So that was The Wanderer Now, episode one, going till episode... Well, that's what we talked about tonight. When I stop being creative, I'll stop writing it.
It's an interesting series, and we'll see when the world
runs. It gets even crazier in the next episode or two.
Yes.
So,
all right. So that was our bit of story, and now we'll go into another one of our rare segments for our special 60th episode, 5th anniversary. In case you just tuned in, so I don't know why you tuned into the middle of the episode, but moving on. Appropriately enough, this next segment is...
Crackpot's Corner.
Crackpot's Corner is when we come up with a crazy, kind of out there idea. Just throw it out there. Probably will never happen, but it's fun to talk about. If you listen to old Crackpot's Corners, we haven't done this in a while, but if you listen to, gone through our podcast archives... You may have picked up that I have this fascination for the idea of reality shows, something...
Oh, yeah, we did a couple reality shows before.
Yeah, the idea of ones that kind of put you in the middle of the action and let you experience an adventure for yourself, which, side note, I'm very interested in... I heard there's an escape room in
Fort Wayne. I did, too. I was just going to mention that.
Yes, yeah. I would love to try out the pirate one, where, like, you're locked in a pirate brig.
And you have to get escape. Out. You got an hour to get out.
Yeah. I think that'd be a blast of the experience. But anyway... So, remember that for my birthday.
Okay.
but the idea was, I'm picturing kind of a, because I guess Legends of the Hidden Temple and Guts from the Nickelodeon shows, mm-hmm. I think were something that really inspired this. And this is something I think.
The Hidden Temple thing was great.
Yeah. The idea is something to be along those lines for like the final challenge. Because both of those had, you know, like the mountain or the temple that you had to go through.
You remember that house? What was that one where you had to like tear apart the house looking for something?
Oh, yeah. Was it Finders Keepers?
Maybe. That's what I was going to say. That was fun, too.
Yeah.
It was like a whole house.
Yeah, a huge house set that you had to like tear apart, like literally like trash to find the one, whatever the treasure thing was. But in this case, I thought it'd be really cool. There's one thing we haven't simulated in any of these recreational things. It's like a dragon fight.
Oh.
So what if you had like a big animatronic dragon or some sort of monster, whatever you wanted to do with it, covered it up, of course, with like either inflatables, you know, be like Baymax from Big Hero 6 and that kind of inflatable robot sort of thing, or maybe pads, something like that, but something that would move on its own. And then you would have to probably climb it and hit like certain, I'm guessing certain weak points on it.
Nice.
Like, and then, so it'd be
like Shadow of the Colossus.
Yes, sort of Shadow of the Colossus, but like,
what if you had like a whole series of like Shadow of the Colossus sort of thing?
That's what like, maybe like each week would be like a different, there'd probably be like three or four.
It's like instead of American Gladiator, it'd be like Camelot Gladiator.
Yeah, and be like, this week, bring out the Tyrannosaurus Rex or
release the Kraken.
Yeah.
Like in the water and you're all wet.
I mean, it'd be perfect too, if, like, say, oh, yeah, that worked too. I was thinking if it was a Nickelodeon show, you'd have to have, it'd be like a slime monster.
Oh, that'd
like,
be awesome.
It'd be like, so they'd be scrambling just to stay on it because it'd be all slippery and because it'd be covered in slime and all this stuff. And I thought maybe you'd probably have to, like, theme it as, like, a challenge. Like, you challenge the monster because, like, that way it makes sense that the same monster comes back every time. And then you also don't have, like, animal cruelty. People was like, how dare you slay all these dragons? It's not to, you know, how to
rescue the princess up there on the, you know, it's all like role played. Do you see that when they had the reality show, like them being like fancy people?
I watched a little bit of the beginning.
It was kind
of
interesting.
I didn't get very, like, I was intrigued by it, but it seemed like a little bit too much of a hybrid. Like sometimes, like I couldn't quite figure out. I like the game showy sort of setting a little bit more, I think, because like the thing that drew me out of it is they started getting into like familiar reality show territory stuff where the contestants started arguing with each other about stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
the game show stuff's fun, yeah.
Yeah, I don't care about that kind of junk. That's usually the thing that draws me least into that kind of stuff. But
what if you combine this whole, like, you had so much time to slay the dragon and the kraken and the golem and stuff.
Whatever.
And then you combine aspects of Ninja Warrior.
Okay, yeah, see, that's kind of what I was expecting for, like, the preliminary. Like, you'd have to go through some sort of physical challenges.
To reach where it lives.
Yes. Oh, that's a good thing. I was just going to go with, like, to be worthy of whoever would go after, or to be knighted or whatever. But that's a cool idea, too, to, like, you're climbing a mountain or to reach it. That's,
So, then you have different things. You climb the mountain, you have, you know, getting through this water. There's, you know, maybe a swamp for some sort of...
Yeah, some sort of double dare sound messy game. Yeah. I think there's a lot of neat.
That would be genius. Why don't we do that?
The trickiest thing would be the animatronic monster thing. Like, you'd have to have something big and robotic, but also save, because you want it to be. It'd be kind of have like the whole bucking bronco thing you see at like restaurants sometimes.
I wonder, even if you watch American Gladiators, the old one, you know, they had like the guns with the that would try to shoot them, and they'd have to run from thing to thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what if, like, you know, the dragon, like, first you have to approach it, and like it shoots stuff
at
you. Oh,
so you have to like dodge.
Yeah, they'd like run, dodge, and then climb up it, and then you have some sort of harpies or something. I don't know.
Little fairies that are your excuse for like the wire harness.
That'd be kind of like, maybe you have a, like a battle in space against like Cthulhu.
Oh,
and then you're like on these, you're like this wire harness thing.
I think it'd take the whole challenge thing to a whole new level.
It'd be cool because then you could make it, you know, it's half kind of this role playing, you know, but it's also this physical challenge.
I think like a Japanese game show place would be all over this.
Yeah.
Did I ever show you what is it called? There was some I saw that it's like they've done stuff like this where like you're in a Egyptian temple or whatever, and like each room is like a different sort of challenge that you have to go through. There's one where like you have to answer trivia questions in the time limit. And while you're doing this, you're in this big machine that's wrapping like cloth gauze around you. So if you don't do it in time, you get completely mummified. And then they make a big show of putting you in a sarcophagus and stuff like that.
All Japanese in their game show.
But like,
come on, that'd be awesome.
It'd be fun. So anyone listening out there, Dragon Challenge.
Perfect
for Nickelodeon.
The Slayer. It'd be like Hercules, you know, 10 tasks or whatever. But it'd be like these 10 monsters, and you'd have to get all the great mythological monsters there one way or another. And it'd be good stuff.
I think it'd be perfect for a physical... Yeah, and I like Mickey, mostly a physical challenge sort of thing, as opposed to, like, the lame sort of... I mean, no, I like the trivia quiz sort of stuff, too.
Yeah, but that's not... I think this would
be better
with a...
It'd be better
like
with
Ninja
overall
Warrior
theme.
Sort of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's my crackpotty idea.
That's great. I think we should make that happen.
Awesome.
So please, we're going to start a Kickstarter for a Dragon Challenge. Once we reach $2 million.
Then we'll find someone to make it for us.
And as long as you've done at least 1,000, you'll be entered into a raffle to be the first contestant.
And I think it'd be like a fun roving thing, like, you know, go visit each city, you know, because, so, you know, you got your, there's that, what's the one inflatable, there's like a full inflatable marathon now.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, I forget, what's it called? I mean, it's like, it's in the vein of, you know, Color Me Run or.
Okay.
But it's like all inflatables that you're like, it's almost like Wipeout.
Okay.
So it'd be fun to, like, you know, people would pay good money to, like, go fight the mechanical.
Oh, I would, yeah.
It'd be fun. And then, I mean, obviously, make a cool TV show, too.
You climb the rock wall and fight the.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. So that's our crackpotty idea. I think that's, we had a nice long story school. So
hey, we had a good variety here in the end. So.
Yes. And it's been a while since we've done so many segments, so it's been nice. Hopefully, we'll come up with plenty more ideas.
Yeah, hopefully, you'll see a 61, episode 61. Maybe we'll just revisit. Maybe we'll just go back to the beginning and talk about endings again, and then we'll talk about
beginnings
again. Talk about time in the pocketbook, and, you know.
Artistic vision versus commercial versus artistic vision.
Yeah, because most of you probably not listening to that one, so we'll just start rehashing and we'll let you know. Maybe we'll just, like, jump the shark and we'll start, like, talking about, like, microwaves or something.
review couches.
So, this is a very nice chair we're in tonight. Just for a while, we're going to just start analyzing all the presidential candidates. And
I'm sorry, though, if you do go back and listen to some of those other ones. I'm thankful to say I think the audio quality has improved, because I did go back and listen to our endings one. I was like, oh, man, we sound so much better now.
I was going to say something and couldn't get it out. That's all I got.
Well, at least we try to sound better. Yeah. When the whole stumbling forwards thing hasn't really
improved. No, that's basically just my MO, so.
Well, thank you for sticking with us through all this. And
5 years. You've been with us 5 years.
Give yourself a pat on the back.
Yes, you are long-suffering.
And, hey, why haven't you shared our podcast with us?
Yeah, we need to make an effort this year to to double our audience.
I think it's doable.
I think it certainly is.
So if you enjoy this, tell someone you know. We don't want to be the only people promoting this thing. Tell someone you know that, hey, you should check this thing out.
Or at least give them we've covered a lot of topics already that they would really like.
Yeah.
Hopefully someday we might have some bingo cards to pass out.
Maybe we should organize some way people can see it at a glance.
Like a table of contents sort of thing? A table glossary?
Yeah, glossary. That might be useful.
Like, if you like Lost, please listen to episodes 1 through 60.
I meant more like, okay,
if you like William Faulkner, please listen to 58.
We could compile all the genre shows. You know, we talked about romance here, post-apocalypse, because, you know, the genre shows are probably easier for some people to get into.
No, we're the highly philosophical ones. Yeah, like existentialism and you.
Or who owns a story, really? I think that's a very vague topic, I think. But it was an interesting discussion. It really was.
Speaking of, we just try topic, like. We don't have time. Like, I don't know if we're going to get 20 minutes out of this or not. And
we usually do.
We usually manage somehow.
But and in case you've forgotten where to share these stories, send them to derailedtrainsofthought.blogspot.com.
Share them to Derailed Trains?
Point them to.
Oh, derailed. Point them to. Okay.
You can share them to. I don't know.
I thought you were sharing podcasts to our website.
Anyway.
Or time to end this. Okay, so you can also subscribe to iTunes or Stitcher.
That's right.
YouTube. And join us for Weekly Hijack, which is a lot of fun and much shorter.
Yes.
Especially if you like us, you like Lost.
Well, and you might also enjoy Once Upon a Time and we'll start Doctor Who.
Which, well, I guess we'll have first Doctor Who out by the time this comes out.
Yep. Lots of good content out there for you to enjoy. Meanwhile, we'll close out here with my soundtrack choice. As of this recording, the Final Fantasy IX album from OC Remix finally came out, which we've been looking forward to.
I thought you were going to do a remix from, like, Madden Football. There's like 8,000 of those.
No. Final Fantasy is our MO. And honestly, we've been looking forward to this album probably about as long as the podcast has been out.
They've been promising it for that long.
Yes.
And it ended up being
good. It was most likely worth the wait.
Yeah.
And and I picked a song with, you know, again, long-lasting series like Final Fantasy. One of the most recognizable themes is the victory fanfare.
Oh, I'm going to choke.
Well, that one too. But, you know, how many times can you hear the fanfare and remix a lot of times?
You can hear it about once every 5 minutes when you're playing.
Yeah. Well, I meant, you know, how many different ways can you do it? And they've done it a lot of different ways in OC
Remix. And most of them are good.
And most of them are good. And the one for the Final Fantasy album, Worlds Apart, is no exception. Their remix of the Victory theme is called Bossa de Victory. And it's by Callum Bowen. And
it's a lot of fun.
That's all I'm going to say about that. So, all right. The owner of the store has really been thinking we're the worst podcast ever, is what he told me during the break.
And I think we might, I'm starting to get the sense as a creator that it's time to end this thing.
Oh, really?
So, yes.
Just for today, anyway.
Just for today, yes.
So, all right. Until next time, this has been Tim.
This has been Nick.
Goodbye.
Adios. Dois, três.